Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for planting your word in our hearts. Help it to grow and prosper now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's that time of year again. It's wedding season. And for some of you, that means you might get to go to a wedding or two. For me, that means I might get to do a wedding or two. And I actually did one last weekend. But I remember one in particular at a certain wedding venue called Stone River. Have y'all ever been there? Stone River is it's right off of the Gervais Street Bridge. In fact, it backs up to it. And so if you're in the outdoor part of that place, it overlooks the river and the Gervais Street Bridge. And so I was doing a wedding out there one day, and it was a beautiful wedding. You know, the bride was gorgeous and the groom was handsome, and you know, it was all that it should be. And so I got up there to do my part, which is basically all of it, because you know, that's what I do. And so I started to preach. Now, I will say that I think among sermons to preach, wedding sermons are kind of the hardest for me. And for one, it's because you got to be real short because everybody's standing up. You don't want people passing out. That's distracting. And you know, you want it to be meaningful and you don't want it to be offensive. I mean, it's people of different faiths are in there. It's just difficult to do. But anyway, I'm getting to the preaching part and the wind starts to blow. And the mic that they had was just like, it was like, which is pretty annoying because the speakers were on either side of me. And I was under this trellis thing, right, that was beautifully woven with all these ribbons and stuff, and it started to blow over. And so all of a sudden the groomsmen, well, they're standing there holding it. And it's great. And so I get to preaching, and you ever get the feeling that you're talking but nobody's listening to you? Yeah, it happens to me a lot. But so I'm going through the sermon, and I think it's pretty good. I think, you know, I'm like, I hope it's okay. But it's like nobody's hearing a word I'm saying. And so then I end it and, you know, say amen and look sort of over my shoulder. And I realize why nobody's hearing me. Because, you know, in South Carolina, storms tend to just, pop up out of nowhere. Well, yeah, it was popping up right over the Gervais Street Bridge. And they were literally watching it come inch by inch closer. It was a whole fireworks show of lightning behind me. And they could see the rain inching closer and closer to closer. Thankfully, we did have Plan B, which in that The way it's set up is like the congregation's under shelter and the bridal party's not. So we just flipped it. And so it still worked out great. And nobody got a drop of rain on them. But nobody heard anything I said. And that's nerve-wracking. I'm sorry, it is. Because when we do this gig, we know that that's a risk. Because every time I step in here, I have to be inspiring. And I have to be educational, right? The content has to be good. You want to learn something, and you want to feel inspired, right? But it also has to be somewhat entertaining. Delivery is a lot of it. I could have the best sermon ever written, and I could make it the most boring thing you've ever heard in your life. All I have to do is read it like this, and you know, amen. And you know, oh, you feel great. No, it's boring. And that's only half the battle, because I still have to worry about you, right? Because if you were up all night last night watching Netflix, or you just couldn't sleep, well, you're probably going to find a place to sleep in here. And have you ever been talking to somebody and all of a sudden they weren't listening, they were asleep? Yeah, that feels great. But, you know, it does happen, and I get that. But then, also, you've got children, and look, my wife didn't hear a sermon that I preached for 5 years. Not because my kids weren't unruly, but just because they were there and you got to pay attention to them or they might run away, you know? But not only that, you've got to worry about, oh, I'm hungry, what's for lunch? Or I got to take care of this, or I got to take care of that when I get home. And so all of those things are going on in this room while we know that I'm trying to proclaim the gospel, and you're probably here to try to hear that gospel. But it's not always effective, is it? But if I think I got it bad, any school teachers in the room? Yeah, the one just got up and left to do children's church. Now, I may be biased because, well, the one that got up and left is my wife, and I was also raised by a teacher, and I think they're the most underappreciated profession there is. I mean, clearly they're paid more than anybody else, but still, underappreciated. I mean, during COVID, people started to appreciate because they had to teach their own kids and they realized how hard it was, and then as soon as they got back to school, everybody kind of forgot that. Because, you know, they don't get to pick their own classroom. Administrators do that, and they don't even get to pick their subject matter. Politicians do that. All they get to pick is their approach to instructing these children. Who, by the way, in the same classroom, you might have one child who can barely read and one child who's on his way to Harvard. You know? And you're supposed to teach this same lesson to reach both of those kids and the other 22 that are in the room with them. And so not only are you dealing with kids that may fall asleep or kids that, you know, can't sit still at all, or kids that just can't seem to understand, there's all kinds of people in that room, and it's your job to teach them all. I don't know how they do it. It's not for all of the thanks that they get, that's for certain. But how hard would that be to get your message across to everybody, you know? I think that's kind of what Jesus was saying, isn't it? What we've got is Jesus teaching, and he goes out by the seashore. And, well, it's more like the lake shore. And I say that because Jesus gets in a boat and teaches from the boat. The Sea of Galilee is actually a lake. And I say that because if you're at the ocean and somebody's trying to teach you from the ocean, are you going to hear them? No. So it's a lake, still waters, you know, so they can hear Jesus speaking. And so he speaks to them in parables. Why? Because he's got to be educational, inspirational, and entertaining. Because even if you don't understand a thing, at least you've heard a good story, right? And so Jesus knows this, and he puts the cookie jar on a low shelf so people can eat it. And so he tells the story. He says, a sower went out to sow. And when he sowed, he scattered seed, and some of it went on the path. And the birds came and ate it up. And some of it fell on the rocky ground. And that sprung up quickly, but it didn't take root. And so when the sun came, it withered because it didn't have any root. Some of it was sown in thorns, and it grew, but the thorns choked it out and killed it. But some of that seed was sown on good soil, and it produced grain, some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And so they hear this story, and I'm sure a lot of them are like, that's a good story, Jesus. You didn't tell us anything we didn't know, except that that farmer's not really good with his seed, you know? And his disciples, they didn't get it, and so they asked him. See, did you notice in our reading that it felt like something was missing? Because there is. There's about 10 verses that aren't there. And so the disciples are like, can you, I don't know, tell us what that meant, please? And so Jesus explains it to him, and that's the second part where Jesus breaks it down. He goes, okay, the seed that fell on the path, that's people who hear the word and don't understand it. And so the evil one comes and snatches it away when it's sown in their heart. And then the seed that fell on the rocky ground, that's people that hear the word and immediately receive it with joy. They get all excited and pumped up, mountaintop experience. Oh God, I love you. You're my Savior, Jesus. And it's great. And then things kind of hit the fan and it gets tough. And, well, it just sort of goes away because they aren't rooted in the faith. And then you have the seed that's among the thorns. And what happens there is it grows, but then the cares of the world show up. And all the distractions of life show up. And the lure of money shows up. And eventually it just chokes out the word. But then there is some. Some of that lands on good soil. And it produces fruit. Some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. So, my friends, what soil are we working with here today? Am I preaching to good soil? Hope. But let's be honest. Am I really? Because I got to be honest with you. If I'm picking what soil I am, I want to be the good soil. I mean, we sang about it. Well, no, not in this service. You'll hear about it in the anthem. But you've probably heard, Lord, make my heart good soil. Let my heart be good soil. Yeah, that's it. Have you heard that one? Well, you will in a minute. But we want to be the good soil. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like the path. I'm like the word that lands on the road. And before I don't understand it. I don't get it. And so the evil one just takes it away. I mean, do y'all understand all the stuff in the Bible? Me either. I went to school for it. It's tough. It's tough to understand all that stuff. And so sometimes it just goes one in one ear and out the other, right? But then sometimes we're on a mountaintop experience. You ever had one of those? That you feel really close to God? And you're so excited about your faith. You know, you just want to go out and serve the world, and you want to be in church every Sunday and sing all the hymns and do everything you can, and it's great. And then life happens, and things get tough, and your faith gets put on the back burner. Sometimes we are sown among the thorns, and we're rooted in our faith, and it's growing. But then, well, then there's the soccer games, and then there's work to be done, and all the stuff around the house that needs to be taken care of, and our jobs to do, and parents to take care of, and kids to raise, and all that other stuff. And you know what? I'd really like to retire rich one day, and or win the lottery or something. And so all of a sudden, our faith takes a back seat. But then there are those times. Those times when we hear the word and we receive it and we understand it and we take it to heart and we live it. And it changes our lives and it changes the lives of the people around us. And see, as I hear this parable, I'm not hearing that those people over there are this way, and those people are this way, and those people are this way, and then you got those people. I'm hearing things that all relate to me. Or is it just me? I mean, there are times when I'm all kinds of each type of that soil, right? And sometimes we're struggling with our faith, and sometimes we're rocking and rolling with it. And so how can it be, though? How can we make it to where we tend more towards the good soil than the other? Well, I think there's some things that we can do to improve the quality of our soil. Number one, I think we can listen. Great start today. Listen. And when I say listen, I don't just mean hear sermons preached, you know. I'm also talking about reading the word and grasping it, because you can't learn the word, you can't have the word unless you actually expose yourself to the word, right? And so come to church, listen to it on tape, read the Bible, connect with Scripture, connect with the word. The second thing you do is learn it. Like I said, I went to school for this stuff. This is not easy to understand, which means we need each other to learn these things. That's what Sunday school's for. That's what Bible studies are for. But it's not just the stuff here. I mean, there are neighborhood Bible studies and prayer groups and all kinds of stuff, ways that you can get connected. There's all kinds of ways that you can learn about God's word. Let me encourage you to do that. Read books about it. But as we learn, we understand more and we deepen our faith. Our roots grow more. Our soil improves. And lastly, live it. Have you heard fake it till you make it? You know, just because you don't fully understand things, just because you're not in the mood, doesn't mean you can't try it out anyway. Go find a place to serve. Do something that'll change somebody's life. Be nice to other people. It's not hard. Just smile. Don't cut them off in traffic, and if you do, apologize. It's okay. As you practice your faith, your soul gets better. But here's the reality. As I understand this passage that we have, these two passages, I actually hear two kind of different parables because it's directed to two kind of different groups. Just like teachers have to teach the same lesson but try to bend it a little bit differently for certain people, I think Jesus is doing the same thing here. The second part is to his disciples, and he's teaching them about receiving the word. But the first part, what are the very first words? A sower went out to sow. It wasn't about the soil. It was about the sower. And that sower, my friends, our Heavenly Father, scatters seed everywhere. Scatters seed all over the place. And wastes seed. Doesn't care. Just scatters it everywhere. Scatters it onto the path. Scatters it onto the rocky ground. Scatters it into the thorns. Scatters it onto the good soil. Scatters it everywhere because you know what? God loves us enough to be where we are and scatter that seed wherever He may find us. When we're in situations where we're in the rocky ground, God still scatters the seed of faith there. When we are in the thorns, God still scatters a seed there. God still scatters a seed on the road. God scatters that seed of love and grace and mercy to all of us, wherever, whatever situation of life we're in. That's the kind of God we have. I mean, we're not going to be perfect. Sometimes we want to be good soil, but we're basically just dirt. But we have a God who continuously loves us and seeds us and waters us to grow 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. Let everyone who has ears listen. Let them learn. Let them live. Amen.